Hey everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Wednesday, May 14, 2025, and I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Ward Ahmed, and we have a great show for you today. Firstly, we're going to be discussing how Donald Trump has landed in Riyadh to this grand welcome, and the Crown Prince Salman of Saudi Arabia has met all of Wall Street's titans. Secondly, we'll also discuss how Trump has announced a major policy shift. The U.S. is going to finally lift sanctions on Syria amid this Gulf tour. And thirdly, Trump has secured a historic $600 billion investment commitment from Saudi Arabia. And finally, just on all things startup, Saudi startup Kilo secures $2.5 million to power AI-driven weight loss revolution.
Biggest news, biggest thing that's happening right now in the business world. Day one of Donald Trump's high-profile Gulf visit kicked off yesterday in Riyadh, and with a grand welcome at King Khalid International Airport, Air Force One was escorted by Royal Saudi Air Force jets as it entered Saudi airspace. Upon arrival, Trump was greeted with a purple carpet, a symbol of prestige in the kingdom. This was done in 2021, where they removed the red carpet and made it purple for royals only, but this time they made an exception for Trump. And he was personally welcomed by Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, a break from usual diplomatic protocol.
Now, American and Saudi flags lined the terminal as the U.S. president received a ceremonial reception at the Yamah Palace. Now, there, Trump shook hands with hundreds of dignitaries, including Princess Rima bint Bandar, Finance Minister Mohammed Al-Jaddan, Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubair, and an Energy Minister Khalid Al-Falah, and Public Investment Fund Governor Yasser Al-Rumayyan.
But the Rays' real spotlight fell on the unprecedented lineup of global tech and investment leaders who joined the American delegation. Apparently, Trump has gone with 1,000 people, which includes security details and everyone. So Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman personally met with OpenAI CEO Sam Altman, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, AMD CEO Lisa Su, who is also the cousin of Jensen Huang. Very interesting family thing here. Palantir Technologies CEO Alex Karp, and BlackRock Chairman and CEO Larry Fink.
Also in attendance was Travis Kalanick, co-founder and former CEO of Uber, alongside top White House officials, including Senator Marco Rubio and commentator Pete Hegseth. Now, the gathering underscored Saudi Arabia's strategic pivot toward AI tech and next-generation investments.
And at the Saudi-U.S. Investment Forum, Trump addressed a packed audience, describing Saudi Arabia as a great place and referring to Crown Prince Mohammed Salman as a friend. He reflected on his first visit to Riyadh in 2017 and called the U.S.-Saudi alliance a bedrock of security and prosperity.
And Trump made a signature move during his appearance, playing Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA, a staple at his rallies. Now, the day concluded with strong symbolic messaging and deepened ties between U.S. business leaders and the kingdom's ambitious Vision 2030. I don't think I've ever seen a scene where so many white leaders have lined up, have actually quite literally lined up to meet an Arab royal, yeah, to meet the Crown Prince Salman. They were lining up. They were waiting very patiently for their turn to say hi to Crown Prince Salman. And I think that underscores how important the Gulf has become.
And
I think
have that just those like 30 seconds. Every guy got like two or three sentences in. It wasn't like they got like full meeting time.
It was so important for them. And I think for me, Majid, it really signaled towards how Wall Street loves our money. Yeah. And that's why, you know, you have people like Palantir CEO there, Uber CEO there. That's why they're all there.
Elon Musk was there. Yeah, Elon Musk was there. We missed his name. But when the video was being played, apparently it's a very interesting thing that I noticed yesterday. There was this one feed which was being played by everyone as live on YouTube and X's and wherever they could. And what I went and found out was that Reuters actually went and got the license to do it live. So it was all Reuters production, and then everyone who has access to Reuters videos and all that, you have to buy those subscriptions. So they all went and bought that feed. So the National from our place, Al Arabia from Middle East, BBC, the Washington Post, the Guardian. I saw a lot of feeds because sometimes some if someone started lagging, I just went back and started on another feed. But Reuters itself had a YouTube feed going live about it. So it was another interesting aspect of this trip, because usually you don't see anything live streamed. But this was very nicely, production-wise, our producers are sitting in the studio. Production-wise, it was one of the best things that I've seen in tours which happen. Because usually we see pictures coming out of them shaking hands, being received on the airport, then sitting together on seats. This was, everything was being broadcasted live for the world to see. So that is why when you go on social media, if you see the cuts from Trump's speech, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman's speech, or anything, you will now notice that everyone has the exact same cuts because it was a live feed which everyone took the cuts from. But apart from production part, the very interesting thing was yesterday, the first person in the line was Jensen Huang, NVIDIA CEO. And the second was Elon Musk. And I saw and I was like, okay, clear sign. AI is right now more important than Tesla and Starlink, and we'll talk about all that
Because in the end of the day, I think, Majid, with Elon Musk and what he's after, I think everyone is collectively aware that he's after his own interests and for his own profit and his own, you know, revenue, because Tesla, of course, Tesla does advance the world, but Tesla is for Elon, but NVIDIA...
Right now, it's for the world, to be honest.
Everyone needs NVIDIA AI chips because basically NVIDIA's AI chips are what needs to be used to actually create like extremely advanced AI and like chatbots and ChatGPT. People need those NVIDIA AI chips.
Just think of them as brains. So the whole body is like you have infrastructure, blood, all your body, you have a lot of things. But if you don't have the brain, so those chips are like the brains of the whole AI infrastructure in the world right now. And the latest ones, H100s, H200s, UAE has it, Saudi Arabia has it. The fight is for H100s, which are the latest one which can be used in data centers to process all the trillions of bytes of data that is being flown from here and there. When you say thank you and please to ChatGPT, those are the chips that actually do everything for you.
But it's those two things that are really needed. A lot of data centers and a lot of NVIDIA chips. I read something somewhere, by the way, that Sam Altman right now is trying to develop OpenAI AI chips, but it's taking time. It's a slow process. Yeah. But you know, definitely Jensen Huang is very important, especially with the fact that Saudi Crown Prince Salman, just right before Trump arrived, announced this new artificial intelligence company, Humane, which is going to be backed by PIF, and the CEO of it is Tariq Amin. And he's Lebanese, and Jensen Huang just actually announced in the Saudi U.S. forum that he's going to give Humane 16,000 NVIDIA chips.
That's a nice announcement. So Saudi Arabia, very luckily, I think when Trump comes to UAE on Thursday tomorrow, today he is in Saudi around afternoon. He'll fly to Doha. And then he'll come here tomorrow. So the thing is that Saudi Arabia, just by luck, since that's the first country Trump went to on his Gulf tour, will get the chips before UAE. At least the confirmation that we're giving you more chips. And second, Musk, and that order that we're talking about, we'll talk about it. Yesterday's trip was basically four or five stories. So this is the first story of dignitaries and everyone. The Sam Altman was 15th or 16th in the line. And to be honest, in the start, I thought it was a random line. And they just said, oh, we're doing handshakes, so come. And people formed a line. When it came to Sam Altman, I realized people before him are still more important right now. So I think the first 20 or 25 people, at least from the looks of it, if you observe it closely, it was a very strategically placed person in every position. So Alex Karp, Palantir, came before Sam Altman. Uber CEO came before Altman. So a lot of people came before Altman. And I realized that OpenAI has more business dealings with the UAE and MGX. So he was put way beyond in the list because right now he's not important. But then again, yesterday another news popped up that he's trying to build a data center specifically for OpenAI in Saudi Arabia. Again, reports, rumors. So he knows that I'm doing a lot with UAE, but I need to somehow find a step in Saudi Arabia as well.
No, but there is also a reason why he's probably the 20th in the line. I remember a while ago, in 2018, he was one of the CEOs who actually he expressed a lot against Saudi Arabia. Yeah. So that's probably why he's in the 20th of the line.
Just before we move on to the story, she shared Mo
Vlogs.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that really
we need to talk about that line also.
So basically, Mo Vlogs, he has this very, the Mo Show. It's a very famous show in Saudi Arabia. And the kind of guests that they bring in, I mean, it's amazing. They had Princess Rima.
Yeah.
They also had Evan Spiegel, the CEO of Snapchat. Yeah. And
Prince Al-Waleed, most probably, is coming also. He hinted at that.
He was invited. Yeah. He was invited to this entire welcome lunch for Donald Trump, and he got to meet Trump. And I think for this visit, I think that's what's so interesting. It's that the Saudis invited everyone who is actually changing Saudi Arabia and shifting its atmosphere.
The other side was all business people.
I mean it in the sense of, you know, Salman did not just choose to invite the royals or people with
or the
most
ministers
money
only,
in
or,
Saudi
yeah.
Arabia, because there are a lot of people in Saudi with a lot of money.
Yeah.
Lubna
Al-Ulayan, the Saudi women billionaire, the very first Saudi woman, she was there. A lot of people, the very funny thing, you can go and, to be honest, if you're listening to this, very interesting thing, go and watch that whole live broadcast. Just write Trump Day 1.
Just go on X.
Yeah, just go on X, find clips. But if you want to see the whole thing, like fast forward it, you'll see a lot of interesting aspects from it. You'll pick a lot of stuff. The Saudi line that was made, which went and said hi and handshakes to Trump, they came and left, came, left, came, left, came, left. Very rarely anyone stood and said something and talked to Trump. So that is the grandeur of Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, that he was standing there. No one had the courage to talk to Trump because they're like, our leader is there. He'll do the talking for us. With Trump, he was introducing literally everyone. Oh, yeah, hello, hi, oh, this, this. So it shows you the grandeur of a leader that he leads. Even with talks, he will lead. He will talk to Trump. We are in no position to overtake him and
that
even say
true.
Anything else.
And he has spoken to Trump, and this is very clear in how, in a dramatic policy shift, U.S. President Donald Trump has announced that the United States will lift sanctions on Syria. Now, speaking at the Saudi-U.S. Investment Forum in Riyadh, Trump said the decision came after discussions with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman and Turkish President Tayyip Erdogan.
And Trump told the forum, I will be ordering the cessation of sanctions against Syria in order to give them a chance at greatness. It's their time to shine. And the standing ovation was started by Saudi Crown Prince, and it led for the next 2 minutes, everyone was clapping, to be honest. And he expected to meet Syrian President Ahmad al-Sharaa today. Yesterday in the morning, it was said that he is just flying to Riyadh and he won't meet Trump. But then there was a very small 3-second clip shared on social media where a reporter shouted at him when he was sitting in the car saying, will you meet Sharaa? Will you meet Sharaa? And he looked up and he was like, what? And then the lady shouted like for the 5th or 6th time and he said, yes. So it was like a 3-second clip and he gave the confirmation. But before that, Axios also reported that this is going to happen. So it's a historic turn in the U.S.-Syria relationships, to be honest.
And Syrian Foreign Minister Asad al-Shibani said the move could pave the way for a historic peace deal and open up opportunities for rebuilding the war-torn nation, according to the UN, to actually reconstruct Syria and fix all the damage that was done by Bashar al-Assad's regime. They require $400 billion. Now, the UN also welcomed the decision of lifting the sanctions, highlighting that it could unlock humanitarian aid and foreign investment. We've already seen how Qatar and Saudi Arabia have paid off $15 million in World Bank debt for Syria.
And despite concerns from Israel, which has warned against normalizing ties with Sharaa's government, U.S. officials are moving ahead. Trump said Secretary of State Marco Rubio would meet with his Syrian counterpart to begin normalizing ties. The U.S. dropped a $10 million bounty on Sharaa late last year.
And the shift is expected to unwind years of sanctions and export controls that severely restricted Syria's economy. Now, experts say the move could transform Syria's position in the region, though challenges remain, including recent sectarian violence and resistance from Assad loyalists. Now, just very recently, right before all of this began, right before this entire Gulf tour, from sources close to the matter, according to Reuters, when Ahmed al-Sharaa and Donald Trump do meet, Ahmed is actually trying to propose a Trump Tower in Damascus, and he's trying to give the U.S. access to Syrian oil. Yeah. And just very recently, Syria hosted its like first construction expo in like a decade. And in this expo, obviously, there were, I believe, there were Turkish companies.
Majority of Turkish companies.
Majority of them were Turkish companies. There were Russian companies. There were Chinese companies. But American companies were not present whatsoever. So I think this is such a great step for them. And just to add on the speech, Majid, that you were mentioning, in that speech, I think, and this was my point about Donald Trump really listening to Crown Prince Salman, Donald Trump kept saying the things that I would do for you, and
we have really seen, funny how he said it.
we have seen how prior to this, you know, Syria's president did visit the Gulf. He visited the UAE. He visited Saudi Arabia, and he probably definitely did. He did argue the plight of the Syrian people, and to actually convince Trump to do this. Yeah. And of course, Trump has to do this. He has to lift the sanctions off of Syria, because how else is he going to get his $600 billion in U.S. investments?
I personally feel that Saudi Crown Prince, over the next 4 years, the $600 billion commitment, he actually got more than U.S. will get. Because we know 2017, the deal was also signed, 350 to 400 estimates. But none of that eventually came into being because COVID happened, and then Biden happened, and then now Trump is back again. But out of those 400, I think 30 or 40 billion was done. So there is a very good chance that here, even with that 600 billion investment that is being said, not everything will happen. Not all 600 will be employed. The thing is, he got his things. He got Syria sanctions removed. The very interesting thing in the speech about Syria, when he was talking about it, he also talked about how he wants Saudi Arabia to become a part of the Abraham Accords, which the UAE has signed, I think Oman has signed. And people are saying that most probably Syria is the next country which will sign it. But they face so much hostility from Israel and Netanyahu over sanctions that I don't think it will happen. And again, if it happens, it's going to be a miracle that Syria joins the Abraham Accords and becomes normalizes all the political, financial, and all the relationships with Israel. But this is, again, on the agenda. But Trump, very interestingly, said he made a whole argument that why Saudi Arabia should join it. But in the ending sentence was very nice. He said, but I know Saudi Arabia will do it on their own time, on their own will, and when they want it. So I was like, okay, now even the US president, the POTUS, the most powerful man on the planet who can make billions disappear from market, even he doesn't want to go and take on Saudi Arabia, which is like the nucleus of the Middle East that we're seeing. Saudi Arabia is the center of whatever Middle East is becoming.
I don't think it's just Saudi, you know, Majid. I think you're definitely right, but I think a part of that nucleus is the very Gulf itself. Yeah. It's Saudi, it's UAE. Qatar, and it's the UAE. Yeah. Because I feel like we this might slip our mind, but it shouldn't. But you know, in the Gulf, they have sovereign wealth funds that are worth over $4 trillion. Yeah. No, and the reason why this is big, it's because of the fact that no human being actually in the world has that much cash in hand. You know, all of these tech CEOs, all
of
these Wall Street journals, I mean, Wall Street, what's it called, individuals, all of them, yes, they have money, but it's not money that they can immediately liquidate or that they can immediately have. But the Gulf does have that. Yeah. And that's why they're all here. That's why they're all standing in that line to, you know, shake hands with Crown Prince Salman.
Saudi Arabia,
they need those investments.
My point of being them the nucleus, they're the biggest economy in the Gulf. I remember last year, UAE's GDP, 700-something billion. overall, and then they made the budget for the next year, and they put the exact same figures. They were like, whatever we've earned this year, we'll use the same money next year as well. They were a very nice break even. Saudi Arabia has a GDP way more than them. Their trade is way more. They're the largest exporter of oil in the world. I was having a very interesting discussion with Aziz yesterday. I was like, I was asked this general knowledge question back like at least 15 years ago, that who is the biggest oil producer in the world? And me being me, and I think everyone will say Saudi Arabia, right? Biggest producer of oil. No, it's Russia. So Russia produces the most oil in the world, but they use a lot of it for their own country. So they export less. So Saudi Arabia is the biggest exporter of oil in the world. Even right now, even with US getting new, they've discovered a lot of oil wells. So they've quite become independent of the oil supply from the world. Even with that, Saudi Arabia is still the biggest exporter in the world because they have, the biggest market for them is China. So a lot of these things show you that Saudi Arabia is the center. The very good thing is that UAE is giving them competition. If they're not like below them, they're at least at par with them. And for a very small country in terms of size also, in terms of economy, I think UAE is doing astronomically great.
Exactly.
But you have to understand that there's always a big brother in the family.
And I
but this small brother, is, the younger brother is doing really, really great.
And I think so with the UAE, Majid, you know, Trump visiting Abu Dhabi soon, it's really important because of the fact is that for the longest time ever, who was the UAE actually getting all of its NVIDIA chips from? China. They were working very closely with China, but if you work very closely with China, what actually happens is the U.S. will step back.
They'll alienize you. They'll be like, sorry.
Exactly. And the way that they'll do this nowadays is that alienization, it happens through artificial intelligence and not receiving NVIDIA chips. So I think that for the UAE, this meeting is a step towards the UAE gaining more access to those NVIDIA chips from the US to actually develop, you know, the data centers here and the artificial intelligence potential that the UAE could possibly have.
Let's move on to the third part of the Trump's visit.
I've never seen you so excited about anything in my life, Matt.
It's just some things when they happen, they're historic.
Yeah.
And if you are part of that history, like not from a perspective of just looking at it, being a part of it, reporting on it, it's really exciting. It's just like if you're a sports reporter, you're at the final of some big World Cup and you're reporting live from there.
I get what you mean. I think for me,
as business journalists, it's like very interesting.
I understand you. Yeah. I think for me, Majid, it comes from this point of I just love seeing Americans so just desperate for Arab money. Like they really need
us. And acknowledgement also. I've realized it's not just money, it's acknowledgement that please. Very interestingly, he said before we move on, yesterday he also said that USA is the hottest country in the world right now. But I will not take you on. He looked at Crown Prince Mohammed Salman. He was like, I will not take you on. You are hotter than us in terms of investment potential.
He's also said that about their sovereign wealth fund before. But just speaking about hot investments, in a major announcement from Riyadh, U.S. President Donald Trump has unveiled a landmark $600 billion investment commitment from Saudi Arabia into the United States. Now, the agreements described as historic are being hailed as the largest commercial deals between the two nations to date.
And the sweeping investment package spans a wide range of sectors, energy, defense, healthcare, technology, and infrastructure. One of the headline commitments includes $20 billion from Saudi Arabian firm DataVolt to build AI data centers and energy infrastructures across the U.S. It's equal to what Hussein Sajwani from UAE is doing. So they're matching each other on numbers terms as well.
Now, tech giants such as Google, Oracle, Salesforce, AMD, and Uber are also involved, pledging a joint $80 billion investment in transformative technologies that will benefit both countries. Meanwhile, American engineering firms like AECOM and Parsons are exporting services for major Saudi infrastructure projects, including King Salman Park and Qadiya City.
On the defense front, the U.S. and Saudi Arabia have signed what's being called the largest defense sales agreement in history. Not in U.S.-Saudi history, in the whole history, worth nearly $142 billion. This includes cutting-edge military equipment systems and extensive training for Saudi armed forces across five key defense areas.
Now, in healthcare, Saudi firm Shamikh IV Solutions is investing $5.8 billion, including a new facility in Michigan for high-capacity IV fluid production. Other funds include a $5 billion energy investment vehicle and a $4 billion global sports fund to spur job creation in the U.S.
Officials from both sides say the deals mark a new golden era of cooperation. With more than $600 billion in total commitments, this investment surge is expected to deepen economic ties and shape strategic partnerships for decades to come.
This is very interesting, by the way, Majid. I got these numbers from the White House's websites, which basically tells you that the way in which Saudi Arabia was actually able to provide that $600 billion to the U.S. was actually through different companies in Saudi Arabia. It was not like they, you know...
They'll just give them the money.
I think that's very interesting because it's not like they took money that is for the Saudi people from the Saudi government, from PIF, that is being used to fuel Vision 2030, but there was a handful select of companies that probably wanted to expand into the U.S. and were probably asked if they wanted to do this, and that's how they collated this entire $600 billion. I just, it's really like mind-boggling how they came up with that money, I think.
So yesterday they signed an economic cooperation partnership, ECP something. Both of them signed it. But the funny thing was before Saudis, the White House published the document Word is referring to. They published a fact sheet of the whole deal, very quick with it. But I think they were very happy to get the $600 billion. But Word made a really interesting point that when you go deep into these deals between countries, it's never the country paying the other country exactly the amount that they've promised. It's always some companies which have Saudi origins working with the U.S. companies, coalitions, joint projects, JVs, joint ventures, and sometimes it's one company expanding to the other company. So obviously when they set up office, they'll need offices, they'll need human capital, they'll create jobs. And likewise, U.S. companies, a lot of them, they when they deal with Saudi Arabia and they come to Saudi Arabia and set up their offices, obviously they will create more jobs as well. So it's a very nice two-way street where this people are expanding there, those people are expanding here, and then some companies are building and working together. So these deals are just like the tip of the iceberg. When you go deep into $600 billion, you'll see a lot of it. White House, just write White House $600 billion, you'll get the press release. Very, very long details. Or you can subscribe to our newsletter. The link is there.
Yes, and just on
pitching
an update,
our stuff always.
And just on an update on startup news, in a major development for Saudi Arabia digital health sector, Riyadh-based startup Kilo has secured $2.5 million in seed funding to advance its artificial intelligence-powered weight cross platform. Now, the funding round was led by Sanabil Venture Studio in collaboration with venture builder Striber.
Founded in 2024 by entrepreneur Fahad El-Isa, Kilo aims to reshape how individuals approach sustainable weight management. The platform uses artificial intelligence to generate personalized health plans, offering real-time health tracking, medical consultations, and integration with wearable devices.
Now, one of Kilo's standout features is its end-to-end health solution that includes at-home lab testing, eliminating the need for clinic visits. Now, the combination of convenience, smart tech, and data-driven customization sets Kilo apart in the growing digital health space.
Speaking on the funding round, Kilo CEO Fahad El-Isa said the investment strengthens our vision of delivering highly personalized and efficient digital health solutions. Our goal is to transform how individuals approach weight loss with an integrated smart experience.
And Sanabil Venture Studio launched in 2023 to support startups aligned with Saudi Arabia's Vision 2030, emphasized its commitment to health tech innovation. Now CEO Rayan Abi called Kilo a powerful force in reshaping health outcomes through technology.
And as AI continues to revolutionize global healthcare, Kilo is emerging as a regional leader in personalized medicine. Its innovative model reflects broader national goals, advancing public health, local innovation, and smart solutions under Vision 2030. The interesting thing is they got $2.5 million. They just launched like 2 months back. So in 2 months, this is an invitation if you're a Saudi and in Saudi, or even if you're not a Saudi, if you have an idea, just start it. Right now, every person in Saudi, every venture capital is looking for a place to invest.
Yes, and if they are.
You have a great idea, you will 100% somehow get the funding.
And also, if you guys actually heard, they got this funding from Senabil Studio. Now, Senabil is actually the venture arm capitalist from PIF that is basically there to invest in Saudi startups and provide that funding for them. So that's just a point there. And that's a wrap for today. Thank you for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, a part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. A big shout out to our 1.5 million monthly listeners across all platforms. You make this possible, and if you're one of them, we appreciate you. For anything related to Trump's visit, just go on our socials. You'll find everything. We're trying to do everything possible. Thank you very much. See you tomorrow.